Okay, today is December 3rd, the 5th of Kislev. And we are in the middle of Shmuel Bet Perek Tet Vav. So if you remember, last we left our story, Avshalom was standing in front of the gates and showing everybody how sympathetic he was to all their cases and also planting these seeds that David HaMelech, his father, didn't really care about them and wouldn't really listen to them, but he would listen to them and he'd give everybody a good verdict on their cases and really a propagandist. And now we're going to see the real rebellion start. Okay. So, Vayishlach Avshalom Meraglim B'chol Shivtei Yisrael Lemor Kesham Achem Et Kol HaShofar Ve'amartam Melech Avshalom B'chavron. Okay, so now it really starts. He sends out spies to all the tribes of Israel saying, when you hear the sound of the shofar, you will say, the king Avshalom is in Hebron.
Okay. What a propagandist.
Yes. So, and if you remember from the previous section, he asked David if he could go to Hebron to fulfill his vow, make a sacrifice that he had made when he was banished. If he were ever to see Yerushalayim again. And so that's how that was the pretense in which he's going to Hebron. Okay. Ve'et Avshalom hachu matayim ish mirushalayim kru'im ve'hochim letumam ve'lo yed'u kol davar. So with Avshalom went 200 men from Jerusalem. They were invited, they were called, and they went in their innocence, we're going to talk about that, and they didn't know anything. So they think they're accompanying Avshalom to fulfill his vow. Vayishlach Avshalom et Achitofel Hagiloni Yoetz David Meiro Migilo Bizavcho et Hazvachim Vehi Hakesher Amitz Veam Holech Berav et Avshalom. So Avshalom sent for Achitofel the Giloni. This is the first we're seeing of him, although we did talk to him a long time ago with regard to Bathsheba. I'm going to remind you of that. And he's David's advisor from his city, from Gilo, for in his offering of these offerings. And the conspiracy, the word kesher means conspiracy, which is interesting. I think the word cabal also comes from like a knot or something, right? Like I'm trying to figure out the etymology of why the word kesher, which means knot, a tangled web, maybe, I don't know, somehow.
No, they are united in this
exactly.
Knot together.
Exactly. So I think that's what it is. So the conspiracy was strong, and Avshalom was gaining more and more people. It was steadily increasing. Okay, so you'll see the next pasuk says that David's finally informed that he's basically, there's a coup, kind of. So before we get to that, let's look at some of the commentaries. Okay, so starting with the Malbim. So he asks, these are the questions, and they go back to Pasuk Zayin from last time. We're going to skip some of that. Okay, but here's the questions. Mara alek shor hamered b'chevron. Why did he want to, I think here it literally means to tie the rebellion to in Chevron? Or how do we make a verb out of to conspirize the rebellion?
Conspire.
Yeah. So why is he choosing Chevron? Devar maraglim hu divrei sichlut. This whole thing with spies seems like a folly. Halo b'takua shofar az yochlu hem lomar zot. Why can't they just do it with, I think, the sounding of the shofar? V'layma yakdimu she'az yomru melech Avshalom. And why is it only going to be then that they say King Avshalom? Uma betza ba'amira zot. And what's the benefit in saying this? V'layma lakachim o matayim ish mirushalayim. Achar shelo gila lahem sodo. And why did he take 200 men from Jerusalem without telling them his true intention? V'lama shalach et Achitofel mi'iro v'la'an shachu. And why did he send Achitofel out from his city? And to where did he send him? V'eich lo noda hadavar al David achar shekvar hodio miraglim zot b'chol shivtei Yisrael. And how did David not find out about this until after the fact, even after all these spies were sent out to all of the tribes of Israel? Okay, so we talked about the 40 years and how that was from the time that they requested a king, because it couldn't be from the time David HaMelech began his reign, because it doesn't make sense. So skip that and go to Vayomer Avshalom in the middle of that paragraph. So now we're going to say, we're going to tell the story exactly how Avshalom conspired this rebellion. So there were four pieces to this conspiracy. Rishana, the first one. So keep in mind that's four. We're going to do all three of them in a row, and then we're going to see some other commentaries and then do the fourth one. Bachar shit pasheta kasher mi'ir Chevron, shesham malach David berishona. So he wanted the conspiracy to spread from Chevron, because that's where David was at first, v'hayta le'Yehuda. And Chevron is clearly in the tribal inheritance of Yehuda. Shemitzad ze nechshavet ki'ir malucha, because so it's already considered a royal city. V'takbil neged Yerushalayim, ir mamlechet David. And we see it in parallel to Jerusalem, which is the actual place where David reigns. V'gam shesham yimshoch et Yehuda acharav. And there he can draw the whole tribe of Yehuda, his and of course his father's tribe, after him. Ulaval yargish aviv, and his father won't suspect anything. Amar li sheholech l'sham el habama l'kayam nidro, because he said he was going there to fulfill his vow. Amnon Bazak has a really interesting interpretation of this, that David came from Yehuda, and he started out in Chevron. So you can imagine Yehuda is thinking, we've got a real advantage. We've got a king from Yehuda who's establishing his kingship in Yehuda. But instead, David moves the whole kingship to Yerushalayim. And also, one of the greatest achievements of David's reign is that he Davka did not show any favoritism towards his own tribe. So while we, from the outside looking in, think that's great, Yehuda, which is the biggest, most powerful tribe to begin with, whenever you see any census counts, Yehuda is by far and above greater in population, is really annoyed with this. And this also, like, just when you think about the parallels with the United States of America in terms of choosing, it was in Philadelphia, and then choosing it to be in a more neutral non-state of Washington, D.C. So it's very similar. So Rav Amnon Bazak says he's being very strategic in getting his own homeboys, his, you know, of Yehuda, to see just how unfair it is that David is neglecting them by not playing favorites, and that he would play favorites even though he just told everybody at the courthouse how he would he would hear everybody from whatever tribe they're from. So he's really playing all sides here. Okay. So that was the first one. Vayishlach, and this is the second one. So going back to Pasuk 10, and these are the spies. Michevron shalach miraglim. So from Chevron, so from his fellow conspirators, he sends out spies. Hem yiraglu cheresh machshavot ha'anashim. They would surreptitiously spy out the thoughts of the people in all the other tribes. V'chol ish asher yir'u shenotam mi'im David el Avshalom. And any person who seems like he's leaning from David towards Avshalom, yigalulo hasod v'yachnisuhu bein hakoshrim. So he would reveal to him the secret, and he would bring him in among the conspirators. I learned a lot of new vocabulary from this. V'hem sivu el hakoshrim shishmeru hadavar b'tzod. But they commanded all of the conspirators to guard this as a secret, ad et yishma'u kol hashofar, until they would hear the voice of the shofar. So all of his conspirators are out all over the land of Israel, and they're bringing more people into the cabal, like the conspiracy, until they're going to hear the sound of the shofar, and that'll be their signal that it's safe to come out, that everything's, they've accomplished what they want to accomplish.
I guess they're expecting this to happen pretty soon.
Yeah.
Don't they normally blow the shofar and restore it?
Oh, interesting. I think this would be a totally different shofar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I guess they must have had, like, just like in the Torah, it talks about the different sounds that would be blasted based on whether they're leaving or they're going or they're going to war. So I imagine they had, like, a secret SOS type code.
Okay.
What's that called? The SOS code. What's that? What's that?
Morse code.
Yes, Morse code. They would have had their own secret. Okay. She'az ve'amarta melech Avshalom, because then they would say, King Avshalom, Raton lomar, as tefarsamu hadavar, then it would become public. U'bezeh nishar hadavar besod. But now it's staying secret. V'gam ha'nichnasim v'kesher lo yidu yom ha'mu'ad v'hechrishu. And so everybody coming into the conspiracy wouldn't know the specific date, and they would do it surreptitiously. Ad yarimu hamaraglim nes b'kol shafar, until the spies would raise the banner of the, or the sign of the voice of the shofar. Okay? And here's, so that's the second one. And so Chevron, and then all of these spies out over the land, getting more people to join the conspiracy. And then the third one, Ve'et lakach imo matayim ish mirushalayim. He takes 200 men from Jerusalem. Shehem avdei David ve'ohavav. So he specifically took people who were loyal to David. Ve'hem hayu kru'im el hazevach ve'lo yad'u kol davar. They were invited for this feast that was going to come out of his fulfilling his vow, and they didn't know anything about the conspiracy. U'bezeh ganav lev David, and here he stole the heart of David, which we focused on that language last week. Shelo adar ala davar kazet, 2 weeks ago, al datol kla. David had no clue. Achar sheyed'a shenimtza'im etzal Avshalom avdei David u'bale brito. So he just knew that these were servants of David and people who were committed to him with a covenant, and that they were with Avshalom. Be'ofen she'akesher she'itpashet b'chol arei Yisrael ne'alam min ha'anashim she'atzal Avshalom ve'af kimi David. So all of these loyalists to David also had no clue what was happening, because it was all done surreptitiously. And so David also didn't know. Okay, so now to go into more depth into the... So Rashi has a different explanation, and he quotes the Yerushalmi. So I put the Yerushalmi there, but I'm not going to attempt to read the Aramaic of the Yerushalmi for you right now. I have the Rashi. So let's just look at the Rashi in English. It's on top page 3. They were invited and went in their innocence. It is explained in Talmud Palestini, Sota, that he requested his father to write for him that any two people that he would ask to go with him should go, and he showed this decree to two people here, then two others elsewhere, and so he did many times until he had 200 people coming with him. Okay, so David had no clue. He just thought he was bringing two people with him. Okay, and now, who is this Achitofel? So this is from the Gemara that is quoting Divrei Hayamim.
Where are you?
It's page 3. So Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam, and Eliam was the son of Achitophel. So Bathsheba is the granddaughter of Achitophel. So all the commentators are flummoxed as to what is, because Achitophel, we will see, will eventually betray David and be a complete loyal advisor to Avshalom. And everyone's sort of flummoxed. We're gonna learn more about him when we see his betrayal coming up later. But how can it be? Was he betraying him already now? Was he in with Avshalom in the beginning? Or was he somehow tricked? And if he was in it from the beginning, why would he do it? So one theory is because he's holding a grudge against what David did to Bathsheba. But I think it's on Rav Bazak says, on the other hand, what seems to be known that Bathsheba's son Shlomo is going to be the king. So you would think Achitophel would forgive David and want to do that. So other theories are that maybe Achitophel saw it was an opportunity for himself with this coup to be on Avshalom's side and then somehow discredit Avshalom after he overtook David and then himself take over the kingship, since it's going to be his great-grandson anyway that was meant to be king. So it's very confusing to everybody exactly what's going on. We're going to see a couple of different opinions. I'm sorry Joel's not here to enlighten us on all the other ones. Okay, so the Ralbag, the Gersonides, he says, so you remember Avshalom sent him from his city, from Gilo. And you have to remember that if he's David's advisor, he would be in Yerushalayim, right? So what does it mean from his city, from Gilo? Yitachin sheshalchu al Chevron migilo lo miYerushalayim. So it's possible that he sent him to Chevron from Gilo as opposed to Yerushalayim. Lirato shema lo yitratzeh Achitofel liot keneged David. To see perhaps Achitofel wouldn't want to join the conspiracy against David. So according to the Ralbag, we don't know where Achitofel's loyalties lie. V'im haya omer lo zeh biYerushalayim. And if Avshalom had asked him to join in Jerusalem, ulai haya Achitofel magid zale David ki hu yoitz David. Maybe Achitofel would have told David while he was still in Jerusalem, and it would have ruined the whole conspiracy, because he was indeed David's advisor. Okay, now the Malvim, on to number four, veishlach and shalachet Achitofel yoitz David. Shehaya imo bekoshrim. So according to the Malvim, he was with him in the conspiracy from the beginning. Bal yimatze bi'iro b'gilo, and he couldn't be found in his city in Gilo. Rak yeshev b'makom nistar. Remember, the Malvim asked, where did he send him to? So here he's saying he sent him to some hidden location. Muchan le'et hatzorech, so he'd be ready for when he was needed. U'bezeh ha'arim, and here he deceived. She'im yitzgale le'David davar, if David would become aware of the thing, v'yitzterech yo'etz, and he wanted an advisor, v'etza an advice, lo yada mikomo, he wouldn't know where he was. So just to delay things even further, that David would have no one to be advised by.
Is this the same Gilo that would have been just outside of Yerushalayim?
I'm not sure. It could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, geography. You what?
I assumed that.
Yeah. A lot of times the places are the same. Okay, so let's go back to our psukim. So those are the four steps that the Malvim discerns from these steps Avshalom is taking for how he's succeeding in this conspiracy. Okay, Yud Gimel. Bayavo hamagid el David linmor haya lev ish Yisrael achare Avshalom. So the teller, whoever this is, came to David saying, the heart of the people of Israel have gone after Avshalom. You can imagine just how sad this is. I mean, when we think of David's life, first, according to the Midrash, to be banished as a little shepherd boy by his father, so rejected by his family, and then taken in by Shaul, but then rejected by Shaul, and then taken in by the people of Israel and now rejected by them for his son. And here we really see David HaMelech's greatness in terms of his love for the Jewish people and the way he responds, how it's completely selfless and without his own safety and mine, and just out of concern for the people of Jerusalem. Okay, so Yod Dalet. I just want to see how far I want to go. Let's just read Yod Dalet. Vayomer David l'chol avadav. So David says to all his servants, asher yitohu, who are with him, b'Yerushalayim and Jerusalem, kumu v'nivrecha, ki lo tiyah lanu pleita mipnei Avshalom. So get up and we will escape, because there will be no survivor in the face of Avshalom. Maharu l'lechit, hurry up to go, pen yimaher, lest he hurry, v'hasiganu, and grass and catch us, v'hidiyach alinu et hara'ah, and he will cause this bad thing to happen to us. And he will smite the city by way of the sword. Okay, so back to the Malvim on page 3 in the middle, Yud Gimel. Vayavo hamagid, the teller came, ubeofen zeh nivneh habinyan hazeh ad tumo besod gadol. And we see how Avshalom was able to build this entire structure until its end, in great secrecy. Ad shebe'et hugad zot leDavid, until by the time it was told to David, kvar tak ubeshofar, the shofar had already blasted. V'noda shekol Yisrael bekesher hamered, and it was known that all of Israel was in the conspiracy of the rebellion. Okay, Yodalet hashelot. Here's the questions: Lama kafal kumu v'nivrecha maharu lelechet. So why is this seeming redundancy? Get up and let's escape. Hurry to go. Umahu vehidiach aleinu atara'a. And what does this mean, that he will bring upon us evil? sorry. Vilama yakeh ha'ir im hamiyu chutz le'ir v'lo yachamu ba'ir. And why would he smite the city if they're going to be outside of the city and they're not going to be fighting in the city? Okay. Vayomer David. Amar le'shnei devarim. He's saying two different things here. It's not redundant. This is how Malbim always explains things. Shivrechu ki lo tiyalanu pleita. That they should escape because there will be no survivor. Achar shehu muchan l'melchama v'nosha b'rav chayel. V'david lo yada mi asher ito. Because he sees that Avshalom has been building up to this, is completely ready to fight, and he has a lot of armed forces with him. And David didn't know who's with him. He's, you know, you can imagine his trust is completely gone. Bet shimarlu l'lechet shelo yakeh Avshalom et ha'ir v'hidiach aleihem et ha'ra'ah. So they should hurry up and go, that Avshalom shouldn't smite the city and bring this evil upon them. Ratzon lamar, she'im yisigam karov li'Yerushalayim, hagam she'ochlu livroach. If he catches them close to Jerusalem, even though they would be able to flee, yaharog et anshei ha'ir, he's going to kill the people of the city, the innocent people, v'olel alilut she'anshei David hargu altam, and he'll create pretenses that the people of David killed them, ya'an mardubo, because they were rebelling against David. Ki az lo noda adayin mi me'anshei David u mi me'anshei Avshalom, because it still wasn't known who was with whom. It was all done as a conspiracy and surreptitiously. V'lo yadu mi ha'machriv ata'ir, and they won't know who destroyed the city. So Avshalom will be able to blame it all on David and his people. So you can see how David knows that this could happen, and this is why it's so important for him to be as far away from Yerushalayim as possible. V'gam im yodea she'anshei Avshalom hargu bam, and even if they know that it's Avshalom's people that killed them, she'ze ya'an hayu anshei David halochmim oto krovim le'ir v'chosim v'tzel ha'ir v'hamivtza l'chein maharu l'lechet. They will say that this was because they were the people of David and that they were fighting them close to the city, and David was giving them shelter, and therefore this is why they were so quick to go. Because so David wanted to go so quickly to protect his people and protect the people of Jerusalem so that there would be no pretense. Okay, let's go back to the text.
So in this interpretation, David is all good and Avshalom's all bad.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty clear
that
Avshalom's pretty evil. Okay, Tetzai. Vayetze ha-melech l'cho beito beraglav, v'yazov ha-melech et eser nashim pilag shim lishmor ha-bayit. So the king and his entire household went out on foot, and the king left, or abandoned, I don't know what the proper translation is, 10 female concubines to guard the house. I couldn't find any, nobody comments on this. I don't know why. But they will comment on them later when Avshalom does his treacherous deed with these 10 concubines. So we'll learn more about them then. But I could not find any commentaries on why David specifically chose to leave 10 concubines there. I don't know. And they have a very, very sad ending. Okay, Yitzayin. Vayitzei ha-melech v'chol ha'am b'raglav. They all went out on foot. V'yamdu beit ha-merchak. And they stayed in some house or structure that was far away. Yudchet v'chol avadav ovrim al p'nei ha-melech. And all of his servants passed on the face of the king. So the king's like letting them all go ahead of him. Yudtet v'yomer ha-melech el Itai. So let's read the commentary and then we'll get to Itai. Okay. Tet Zayin. Hashelot lama kafel veyetzei hamelech veyetzei hamelech veyetzei. So why is it double? We have two times where it says the king went out. Veyetzei siper yetziat hamelech Yerushalayim tchila yata mibeito hu v'chol b'nei bayit. So first it was all the people from his household that went out of like the castle, the palace, I guess. And afterwards, Yitzayin ve'etzei min ha'ir. They went out from the city. V'chol ha'am she'askir v'samuch, the entire nation that was mentioned next to it. Ve'imdu beit ha'merchak, and they stood in a faraway house. B'bayit ha'rachok min ha'ir, in a house that's far from the city. Lihitkabet sham, in order to gather there. Okay, so now we have to read more. Yudchet. V'chol avadav ovrim al yado. Oh, I skipped a line. That's why it's confusing. Sorry. So all of his servants passed on his hand. V'chol hakreti, v'chol hapleti, v'chol hagitim. So all of, we're going to see what these mean, if they're people or what they are. The kreti and the pleti, which is the name of a very famous halachic work that has to do with Nida. And all of the gitim. Shesh me'ot yish asher ba'u biraglo, 600 men that came on their feet, migat, from Gat, ovrim al pnei ha'melech. They were passing from before the king. So let's just see who the kreti and pleti are. So go back to page 3. So this is from Divrei Hayamim, where it's in a different context, but it talks about the kreti and the pleti, and you see that they are translated as Charatites and Pelethites. Karathites and Pelethites. So they were nations, according to this. And this is Rashi there, over the Charatites and Pelethites. The meaning is that they were nations, as it is written, woe to the nation of Charatites. And from their nations were mighty warriors with David. Okay, now if you remember, I've mentioned this before, the commentary on the Divrei Hayamim, which is one of the last books of the Tanakh, is actually not Rashi. Although if you go to the Chabad.org website, which this is from, it will tell you it's Rashi. It's a pseudo-Rashi. We know it's not Rashi. I heard this in a lecture this summer from this woman, Lisa Fredman, who's a PhD in Rashi and Mishle. And she does a lot of research on Rashi. And she explained that Rashi's commentary is almost mostly in order of the Tanakh. And in the middle of the book of Job, there is a statement that says, before was Rashi, from here on it is not Rashi. Mm-hmm. So meaning he passed away in the middle of his Eov commentary. Mm-hmm. And the one exception to this is the book of Daniel, because apparently Sefer Daniel was being used and quoted by Christian missionaries at the time to convince Jews that their theology was correct. So a lot of commentaries at the time would go out of order and skip to Sefer Daniel so that Jews would have good responses to the Christian missionaries with Sefer Daniel.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Divrei Hayamim is definitely not Rashi. And okay, so let me show you. So the next verse is a Gemara that we'll just read in English, of a different interpretation of what the Kreti or Pleti are. So here's our verse, the same verse from Divrei Hayamim. So Rav, and this is within a larger discussion on an Agada. So Rav Yosef said, upon what verse is this Agada based? As it is written, and after Achitophel was Yehoyada, son of Benayahu, and Abiatar, and the general of the king's army. The individuals named in this verse correspond with the roles of the Agada as follows. Achitophel is the advisor, whose advice they sought first with regard to going to war. And so it says, now the counsel of Achitophel, which he counseled in those days, was as a man who inquires of the word of God. So was the counsel of Achitophel, both David and with Avshalom. Benayahu ben Yehoyada corresponds to the Sanhedrin, since he was the head of the Sanhedrin. And Evyatar, who was a Kohen, corresponds to the Urim Betumim, as Evyatar ben Achimelech, the priest, would oversee inquiries directed to the Urim Betumim. And so it says regarding Benayahu ben Yehoyada's position as the head of the Sanhedrin, and Benayahu ben Yehoyada was over the Kreti and over the Pleti. And why was the Sanhedrin called Kreti or Pleti? It was called Kreti because they were decisive, kortim, in their pronouncements. It was called Pleti because their pronouncements and wisdom were wondrous, muflaim. The head of the Kreti or Pleti was the head of the Sanhedrin. According to the order of the verse, upon being instructed by King David to go to war, the sages first consulted with Achitophel, then with the Sanhedrin, then they would ask the Urim Batumim, and only thereafter was the general of the king's army, Yoav, given the command to ready the military for battle. Okay. So Radak says on the Gitim, so that's the Kreti or Pleti, and now who are these Gitim? So he gives two different explanations. Amru ki goyim hayu, b'chein itai hagiti goy haya. So there are those who say that they were a non-Jewish group, and that Itai, who we're going to learn about in a little bit, the next pasuk, that he was a non-Jew. Lefi dati, but the Radak doesn't agree with that, in his own opinion. Ki Yisraelim hayu. No, they were Jews. Shayu mitgorim begat, but they settled, they sojourned in Gat. Ubau atala zrat David. And now they came to the aid of David. Okay, so we don't know who these people are, but they're mentioned, and we have these different interpretations who they are. Okay, so back to our story. Yod Tet, we'll read to the end. Vayomer HaMelech El Itai Hagiti. So his name is Itai, which now after the story you'll understand why parents name their children Itai. And he's a Gittite. We don't know if that's Jewish or non-Jewish. Most of the Midrashim and commentaries that we're going to read about assume he's not Jewish, except for that Radak. Lama Telech Gam Ata Itanu. Why are you also coming with us? Shuv, go back. V'shev im HaMelech, and dwell with the king, who Rashi says here is Avshalom. So David has really given up. Ki Nochri Ata, because you are, so here we're going to say non-Jew, could also be a stranger. V'gam gole ata limkomecha, and you are also exiled to your place. We're going to see what that means. Tmol boecha, yesterday you came to me, meaning like you really don't need to be so loyal to me. I basically just met you yesterday, kind of as an exaggeration. V'hayom aniacha, and now I'm going to make you move around. Imanu with us, lalechet, to go. V'ani holech, al asher ani holech. I'm going to where I'm going. Shuv, you return. V'hashev et achecha imach chesed ve'emet. I'm going to translate this like the Targum does. So return to your brethren with you, chesed, goodness, and truth. Like do your people a favor and just go back. Kaf Aleph, v'ya'an Itai et hamelech. How does Itai answer the king? V'yomer, chai Hashem v'chai Adoni. By life of God and by life of my master, Hamelech, the king, ki b'makom asher yasham Adoni Hamelech, im l'mavet, im l'chaim, ki sham yeh avdecha. In the place that he will be, my servant, my lord, the king, will be there, whether it's for death or for life, there will be your servant.
Shades of Ruth.
Exactly. So if you're interested, I didn't include it because it's so easy for you guys to just look up, but I was definitely going to mention it, thank you, is that Rav Bazak really charts out the whole comparison with Ruth and all of the similarities. And it's really beautiful. And just further proof, because it's so obvious, as Chaim saw, the comparison with Ruth, another argument that he was a non-Jew, expressing his loyalty. And also what's so beautiful is that, of course, David is the great-great-grandson of Ruth. So we see the payback in a very nice way of Ruth, of non-Jews to her progeny. Okay, so how does David respond? Vayomer David al Itai, lech v'avor, v'yavor Itai gite, v'kol ansha, v'kol hataf asher ito. So David says, he accepts him. He says, fine, go. So unlike Ruth, where Naomi rejects her three times before he agrees, here David agrees. And they passed over at Itai and all of his people and the children that were with him. V'chol ha'aretz bochim kol gadol. The entire land was crying a great cry. V'chol ha'am ovrim v'hamelch over b'nachal kidron. And the nation passed, and the king passed on this river of Kidron, which, right, it's, you can see it, like when you're standing in the mountains of Jerusalem, we know where that is. V'chol ha'am ovrim al p'nei derech et hamidbar. And the nation passed by a different way in the wilderness. Okay.
Wait, so who is actually leaving? David is leaving with
all of his loyalists.
Yeah, but when they say the nation, who's the,
So that's just the people still loyal to David.
Okay, so all the people who are leaving.
Yeah.
Not the ones waving sadly goodbye.
And probably the people of Yerushalayim are loyal to David. And they're probably terrified of Avshalom, that they would be accused of being loyal to David if they stay. Maybe. Okay, so let's look at Rashi on your chat. So Im Hamach, I told you that was with Avshalom. David tells Itai to just, he doesn't have to be loyal to David. Ki nochri ata, because you're a non-Jew. Let's just read that in English. Now we flee without provision or food, and because you are a Gentile, you are not readily find anyone to take pity. So this is interesting also, saying we don't have anything, and you might actually hurt us by being non-Jews. We might get less sympathy from wherever we flee to. Or we will get sympathy, and you won't, and I can't be responsible for that. So, and then he says, you are a gola, in exile. So this translated as, if you are wont to wander, go to your own place. And if you wish to wander from the king because you do not desire to be with him, return to your own place. For your travel with me is not advisable, since just yesterday you came. Meaning, you don't need to go into exile with me. You can just go back to Gat, where you came from. There's no reason for you to suffer. Okay, the Malbim. Psukim ha'elu nilchatsu ha'mefarshim. So the commentaries we're stressed out about these psukim. Lama teilech imanu? Why would you go with us? Im teilech mipnei she'ata yirei me'ashalom? If you're going to come with us because you're afraid of Avshalom, yesh lecha shnei breirot. You have two choices. O shuv l'Yerushalayim v'shavi mamach. Go back to Jerusalem and stay with the king. Ki lo yasim lev alecha ki nochri ata. He's not going to pay any attention to you because you're not Jewish. He's not going to accuse you of any loyalty. V'gam im goleta. And if you're in exile, im yegalet cham Yerushalayim, if Avshalom, for whatever reason, does pay attention to you and he exiles you from Yerushalayim, lim komecha, to your place, halo tegalala mekomecha legat, v'lo tafsid meoma, just go back to Gat and you won't lose out on anything. Tmol, yesterday, v'im telech lama ani kedei la'azrani, and if you're going to come with me in order to help me, al zeheshiv, on this, David answered, Aleph, Tmol boecha ve'echa yom aniacha. You came to me yesterday. How can I make you wander today? Ve'ta ayef ve'iga, and you're tired and worn out. I don't want to do that to you. And bet ve'ani holach al asher ani holach. I'm going to where I'm going. Od lo yodati tachlit mahalchi u'magamati. I don't even know the purpose of my walking or my goal. Rak sibat ha'halach. I only know the reason why I'm going. Hi mipnei she'ani holech, and this is because I'm going. Ratzon lamar boreach mimasha mimenu. I'm fleeing from something. Lechach shuv ata. Therefore, you go back. V'hashev etachecha imach chesed ve'emet. And you return to your people this kindness and truth. Ratzon lamar ze hachesed shetashiv lahem ba'avor shehalchu itcha ma shetashivam bal yanu devenu. You're going to do a chesed to your people by going back so that they don't have to wander with me. Rashi, v'hayom ani acha imanu, and I shall move you about with us. Let's read the English, for I have no place where I can settle you so that you be spared. I can't protect you at all, since from day to day I go wherever chance takes me. When I hear that the pursuers are here, I run there. Now, Yonatan also translates, and if you are wont to wander, go you to your place. Kindness and truth, I thank you for the kindness and truth that you have done with me. Okay, so the two different ways of interpreting the kindness and truth. Either you're going to do kindness and truth to your people by bringing them back, or thank you for your service. Now go back. Your service to me. Okay, just a couple more malvims. Asher yiyasham im lamut im l'chaim. This is in Itai's beautiful response, whether it's death or life. Ritzon lomar, achorei shiya behachrach b'makom sakana, after we are surely in a dangerous place. Misupak im lamavet im l'chaim, it was doubtful whether we would die or live. L'chein sham yiya avdecha. Therefore, this there will be your servant. Ki in ra'ui l'ohev la'azov et ahovo be'etzar. It's not fitting for a lover to leave his beloved at a time of strife. Okay, one more. We're not going to do that last one. I accidentally included it, but it's for next week. Hashelot, ma shekata v'chol ha'am ovrim kvar niskar v'pasuk yudchet v'shilesh od v'chol ha'am ovrim. So it seems like we repeat three times the entire nation was passing. V'chol ha'aretz, in all the land. Ayidezeh noda ha'dvar v'chol ha'ir v'kulam bachu. Now it was known in the entire city of Jerusalem, and they all cried. V'gam kol ha'am, and also the nation. Ratzon lamar, am Yerushalayim ovrim gam ken, that all of Jerusalem is also going. V'az nitchalku l'shtei machanot, and they divided into two camps. Hamelech avar benachal kidron, so the melech the king went by the Kidron, and the nation went in the wilderness. Okay, so coming up next week, we see more loyalty to David from the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, and they're actually going to bring the Ark with them in fleeing Jerusalem. And again, we're going to see David's loyalty to his people, to God, to Jerusalem, in his response to them to bring it back. So I think we really see David's selflessness as a leader and how he doesn't want anybody to endanger themselves for his sake, and he wants to do everything in his power to save as many lives as possible from this rebellion of his son, Avshalom.
And where's Shlomo during all of this?
So I think he's still a little boy. Like, he's still young. He, according to tradition, he became king at the age of 13. And I think this might be 3 years before. So he might be 10 right now.
So he's probably part of the household.
Yeah, so Avshalom, if indeed he knows, and we saw last week that we're not really sure that that it's public knowledge that Avshalom will be the king. So if he knows, he feels like now's his chance while Shlomo's still young. It's his last chance to really take over.